grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
And welcome to the Dudes and Beer Podcast. Chris Jordan here, your host. Welcome to episode 323. I'm smoking on air tonight, and I know it looks like I'm smoking something funny. It's not that funny, but it is actually great stuff. Some brand new CBG brought to me by, you see the label there? True Hemp Science. Our first guest this evening, we will be talking to Christopher Lynch, one of the founders of True Hemp Science. Very, very good friend of mine here in Austin that I've met over the last few years. And as I've told you guys, since we started bringing his product on air, I have been prescribed CBD by my doctor for my anxiety, stuff like that, as a supplemental. It's been fantastic. I have loved my CBD journey and experience, but traveling the country like I do, hopping into dispensaries and legal states, stuff like that, I've tried product all over the place. Even the fantastic Chong stuff that's out there, things like that. I have yet to find something the likes of True Hemp Science, y'all, and this is not even a joke. Y'all know me. I do not. I don't quote shill things, but oh boy, howdy, do I shamelessly promote. And that is what we will be doing this evening once we get Christopher on the show, who is patiently waiting right here in studio for us to go through all of the fantastic Dudes and Beer news of the week. If you hop on over to the Dudes and Beer group, you can see right there on Facebook, everybody, where we post all the articles that are late and great out there in the world of news. The Air Force rods from God could hit with the force of a nuclear weapon. That is coming to you out of wearemighty.com. A dozen dead whales have washed ashore in the Bay Area. That's out of the LA Times. And there have been more wash-ups reported across the globe right now. So what is happening? Especially with the lack of ships in our ocean. The soldier who called on troops to refuse vaccine distributions faces mutiny charges. That article coming to us out of the Ottawa Citizen. Rand Paul received a chilling threat with white powder and a rifle pick sent to his front door. The FBI is currently investigating that threat. In addition, our Texas lawmakers here have okayed the carrying of guns without a license, despite opposition from police. That's coming to you out of CBS News. And this was my favorite one. My community standards spam, which, you know, yes, Scott Ertz, you did point out, it was probably the fact that, you know, I can blast sometimes. I've posted like 10 articles in a row that I've spent the last 30 minutes reading, stuff like that. That's worthy. And whenever I posted it, it was like, this is spam. And it's like, I'm just posting about a new form of graphene out there that's really going to change microprocessing as we know it. So I guess we can't do that anymore. And then, of course, Washington's UFO lobbyist is having a moment. That coming out of Politico as we are nearing. Oh, look, there's Chris. As we are actively nearing. All of the, sorry folks, there are two buttons on my stream deck that say Chris. It's taken me a second to get used to that. But as we are nearing the Pentagon UFO report, we'll be having, we will absolutely be having Mike Turber from 5x5 News on the show with us to talk about his interpretation of the footage that comes out, all of his stuff involving Luis Elizondo and others. His breakdown of the recent footage that came out was really, really fantastic. So as we move into two guest shows, as we kind of start making that changeover that we talked about in the last show from Dudes and Beer, the classic Dudes and Beer format, into Curious Realm, where we will be continuing the format, making it longer, having more guests on per show, covering more topics, and really starting to dig our heels into some of these communities that we have become a part of, and being able to help pull the cart, as it were. So when we get back from these messages from our sponsors, podcast cadet, we will be talking to Christopher Lynch, founder of True Hemp Science, talking about the amazing world of CBD, CBD products, things like that, right after this.
Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultation and workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code DUDES20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com.
That is right, folks. And while you're there, please, please, please do not forget to visit the amazing website of our sponsors, who is in studio with us today. Stop on by. TrueHempScience.com. That is where you can find some of the best hemp-based products, full-spectrum CBD products out there, folks. This isn't just leaf. This isn't just stalk. This is the whole plant extract so that you get the full benefits of the full spectrum of CBD coming into your body. While you're there, make sure to check out their great selection of not only oils, but edibles, spigeric as well. We'll be talking about what that is, what the difference between water-soluble and non-water-soluble CBD is tonight. While you're there on True Hemp Science, make sure to use the code DUDE7 to save 7% off your cart of $50 or more, as well as, check this out, I have a pretty big hand. This is the size of the free cookie you get. Two free cookies. That's right, because you get two edibles, Chris, whenever you use the code DUDE7. So you not only save 7%, which is in most states is smooth your sales tax, but you get two cookies for free, two edibles, which I cannot wait to dig into those. Speaking of digging in, start digging into the topic, Chris. I found you at a local farmer's market a couple years ago and was looking to explore the world of CBD a little bit and had tried some previously, but to no real avail or even effect necessarily, until I found your stuff. And to find somebody, most of the places that you walk in, most people can't really like explain the science of the CBD to you. The fact that you were explaining the science of it, what it does, your actual receptor system in your body that's there to take this up, take it in, use it. Let's start off at the beginning. How did your CBD journey begin? How did you find out about it? And what really brought you down the rabbit hole of this amazing product?
Well, thanks, Chris, for having me. And, I got involved in cannabis 23 years ago, and I thought that it was going to be the best thing. You know, I moved to Northern California. I had a place in the middle of the forest, and we were working on the legalization movement. And that's a entirely other episode.
Absolutely.
Story. But we did, about 6 years ago, a friend of mine got ill, and I went to, I'm actually in the hospital with him, and CBD flashed in front of me. Very strange experience, but I'm not immune to them. And so I went to price it, and I just CBD is great to take a little bit, but if you take, if you eat, I'd say if you eat CBD, it changes your nervous system.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I went and I called a friend of mine and he sent me a bunch of it. And that's how I started the company.
Wow. And it was literally through visiting a friend in the hospital and finding. I have found that to be the case so many times where typically it's something either happens to somebody that they know or it happens to themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what brings them either to their field of study or brings them to, like you, basically a life mission providing this kind of product to people. Yeah. Let's start at the beginning now of True Hemp Science, because what was it that really started bringing you to the point of making the product that you make, how you make it? Because your stuff is formulated a little, well, not even a little differently, like differently than a lot of other people.
Well, I just, what I think is people are trying to make a Starbucks cup of coffee. Mm. So when I was looking at how to get products that actually work, from the research and from my own experiences is that it's a whole plant that actually has the benefit. And so what I would do is I went and tried a couple of products out there and they, like you were saying, they don't have any effect at all. So, in my previous life, I knew a little bit about what we wanted, and I would just start sourcing and looking for high quality products. I prefer CO2 extracted, although alcohol has a place in it. We are very particular. There's no petrochemicals in any of our products, and they are also all full spectrum.
Yeah, and now explain to the audience what full spectrum means, because I think that that's something that a lot of people are not quite aware of.
Right. So all our products contain THC. They're actually even more than that. We call them whole plant extracts in the sense that we want as much of the plant as possible in the product, and which also means it's high native terpenes, high hemp terpenes.
Yeah, and the terpenes, just so y'all know, are that's actually the root of the word turpentine. You know, kind of that piney, pinol is one of the terpenes that's out there. Yeah. And yeah, it literally smells like pine trees.
Yes.
You know, they have a kind of a zesty flavor. If you are a partaker of other things in the world, that's where a lot of the citrusy flavors, things like that, come from, overtones, even in CBD. Because of the strain of plant that you are using, because even if, like, a lot of people don't realize that the term weed just means that it'll grow anywhere. There are thousands of different strains of not only marijuana, but hemp and CBD as well. And
More like the old timey hemp. This is, our hemp is more like the old timey marijuana.
Yeah.
Where you're not going to be pasted to the back of the wall.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, it's not like who threw that brick at the back of my head. and that's just it. That is what helps me with my anxiety. Mm-hmm. And granted, folks, you did mention a second ago that there is some THC in your stuff just to alleviate people's concerns. Should they have regular testing done for work, things like that? Would that be something that
it could show up? I mean, could we show just up? Tell you people it has THC, so we recommend that you either talk to your employer and tell them that you're taking a legal product. They may be changing that soon. I know I've heard that
I hope.
First responders, they're allowing some first responders to test positive. If you smoked a joint one time, you would be off the charts relative to taking our product every day.
Well, and the argument I make to people all the time, if you're going to be P-testing people, you should really be breathalyzing everybody when they walk through the front door, too. Because I bet you a lot more people are coming to work drunk from the night before or that morning than are coming to work high.
Well, I mean, the good thing about CBD is you can still function.
Yes.
It tends to, one of the side effects CBD does is drop cortisol levels. So your body's actually relaxed. Whereas if you smoke weed, you tend to, I mean, THC does not drop cortisol levels.
No.
So people who are, say, oh, I'm relaxed because I'm high, you may not be in your body, but your body may not be relaxed, you know.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know because you can't feel it.
Yeah, yeah, per se. And even the fact of you're used to feeling it, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where eventually, and even not even eventually, but for some people right off, that paranoia can happen. For some people,
right.
And that's the root of some of that. But like we're saying, make sure to tell your employer that you are using a legal substance. Like I said, my doctor put it on my recommend list. If it's something that you are considering, folks, talk to your doctor. Most doctors nowadays are all about using this. It's not something that they just recommend off the cuff. But if it's something that you go, hey, you know, I've heard a little bit about the CBD community, about how this helps lower cortisol levels, which is what feeds pain receptors, things like that.
Well, pain, inflammation, depression, anxiety, yeah. That's what most people use it for.
Yeah, yeah, and, precisely.
Yeah.
And for me, the way I explain it to people is this stuff right here specifically, the...
Number 32.
The number 32, which is the Ayurvedic herbs with CBD. I show it to y'all all the time, but you can see the suspension of all the herbs inside of there. And I literally, when I'm on the road, stuff like that, I'll just take a dropper full of it and put it in my water and shake it up. And that's my drink for the morning. But the way I describe it to people, it's like a warm hug.
Oh, what?
It's like... When you've had such a hairy day and you finally have that moment where you can take a deep, full breath, like appreciative, deep, full breath, and like, oh, wow, I just experienced that full breath. That was nice. That's how CBD makes me feel.
Yeah, well, that one's when you emulsify CBD, you break the oil down so it bypasses your liver. Meaning emulsification just means that the molecules have become very small, and then they bind them to an emulsification agent, sunflower lecithin, and it just prevents it from allows it to permeate the cell membrane much faster.
Interesting.
So and that one are all our emulsified tonics are done with water extracted of Vedic herbs. Like, so we're just very intense about purity.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I love is that y'all aren't necessarily, there are tons of different extraction processes, but y'all specifically use the water base and the CO2 base.
Well, we specifically use mostly CO2 extracted, although we do use alcohol extraction because it has a benefit. You can get a lot of terpenes in it. It's typically less expensive. And all our products are third party tested.
And speaking of third party tested, while we have your website up real quick, let's go into some of the lab results, things like that, just so that people can understand once again the science of this product, what it does. Now, granted, no medical claims being made, but biologically, how does it work?
Right. So your body has millions of CB1 and CB2 receptors, and most of them are located in the nervous system and spine. And the plant's identical to many components that we already make. And these components help control pain, inflammation, depression, anxiety. It'll lower your A1C. It will in some people it lowers your blood pressure levels. And we can go on and on, but that's a good place to start.
Well, and with that in mind, how does the CBD begin to lower anxiety, things like that?
Well, with anxiety in particular, dropping cortisol, what tends to happen is we get habituated to states of being which are induced biochemically. We're habituated to the stress of our daily life, or we pick up the cell phone, or we come home, and right when we know, or we go into our job, and we know that it's going to be one of those days, and it starts. And then, or maybe you were in the military and you were in a combat situation over and over, and so you automatically pick up the rifle and you're in that situation, or your body associates it with getting in a car, and now you're no longer deployed, but you just get in your car and you notice that, oh, now I'm in that fight or flight. So CBD reduces the cortisol levels. And one of the things that we do, which is a little bit different than other people, and largely we believe that the plants are intelligent, right? So what you want to do is, nature's much smarter than us. And if we can extract whole products, then eventually we'll find something that'll work for you.
Well, and with that concept of nature is much smarter than us, let's explore that for a minute, because the last time I was actively in your shop, it was one of those, it was such a joyous moment to me to hear somebody talking alchemy and explaining some alchemical principles, which actually are the roots of our pharmacopoeia. Mm-hmm. Those are the roots of pharmaceuticals. There's a reason why, acetylsalicylic acid is taken out of willow bark, because that's what people used years ago. They just boiled willow bark and drank it, and that was their aspirin.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that these botanicals are the root of so many pharmaceuticals, and that we are now looping back to that full on and going back to that literal concept, that alchemical concept of, if the plant is coming from the root, and that's the source of the plant and the life, wouldn't you want the root too?
Yeah, well, yes, that's true. And I mean, you could really get into time of day when you pick them. There's so much to determine it. We did just actually come out with a spagyric product, which is, it's an alcohol-based tincture. It's, I'm not sure it is on the website. Yeah, we just actually got it in last week, and it took us, we started making this almost a year ago right now. And so spagyrics, normally when the extraction process is done, you'll take the oil and the terpenes, and that's the product that you sell.
Okay.
But this was the result. I actually just got lucky. I had been pestering this guy a number of years ago to make some products for us, and he said no, he's just too busy, and I caught him at the right time, because he had sent me a tincture that he made, and it was phenomenal. And so in a spagyric, you will take the, in layman's terms, you would take the oil, the terpenes, and then you would dry the plant matter and burn it, and then put it back into the product.
Okay.
And then you would let it sit, and then you would repeat that process over and over until you change the composition of the body or the plant matter, and you affect this. What happens is you affect the minerals. You change the spin state of the minerals.
I got you. So basically, it's almost like a full-on distillation process, where you're going to take the parts of the plant that you've extracted, dry them out, burn them, extract from that again, dry it out,
burn it,
extract from it again.
Yeah.
That's really interesting, because, yeah, over COVID, one of my obsessions has been reading alchemical texts.
Oh, yeah.
Like Emerald Tablets of Hermes, all kinds of stuff. And that is so much of the process. Is so you finish this process, now do it again for another 2 days. Mm-hmm. And to hear the fact that y'all are doing that same thing, just the reduction of the reduction of the reduction, it's the same way that you come up with ultra ultra clear vodka, stuff right. Like that is numerous distillation. You distill the distillate, and get out as much impurity as you can.
Yeah. I think what I've been really, in my own healing process, I found that the minerals, what we know about the human body is it's more of a electrical being. We're electrical beings, not chemical beings. And electrical means proper voltage. And so healthy cells run at 40 to 45 milliamps. And if you injure yourself in an immediate sense, you go on the acute side. And chronic disease, cancer, and arthritis, these are all low voltage conditions. But in order to restore balance to the body, one of the primary fundamental first things would be is to reduce inflammation and then proper nutrition. And so minerals in a proper spin state will contribute to that.
And what do you mean by proper spin state?
More bioavailable, right?
Okay.
Yes.
So yeah, basically able to absorb through your cells faster.
Right. And so this is where it gets even a little bit past me, but I could tell you that, you know, hydrogen has over 1,200 forms of it, but you're not hearing that every day. And so that there are different so the potassium, which I know that this product has more of, there's something different about the potassium from that than the potassium made by Bayer or Sigma Aldrich or a chemical company. So when you always want nature to chelate your minerals.
Oh yeah, I mean most definitely. If you can get that mineral substance from something else other than lab creation,
correct.
That would always be the best.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, even going into precious stones, things like that, the vibration is slightly different.
That's
that,
a good way to put
that kind of stuff. You know, the way that a lab created diamond works,
right,
as opposed to a natural diamond, right, is slightly different. Their hardness is slightly different.
Right. Exactly.
Everything else. So.
Everything vibrates, and nature vibrates differently. So that's why we talk about this as science made by nature, is which we need to get back to, instead of a science being hijacked or however people are talking about it now, where science is an exploratory process and it's not fixed.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that we preach on this show all the time, is that exploration is what's necessary. Not just exploration, but exploration with open hearts and open minds.
Mm-hmm.
Fact-based exploration, but with open hearts, open minds. You know, have we actively considered this? You know, and like we were saying a minute ago, so many medicines that we have now have been derived from natural means,
mm-hmm.
Have come about from natural means. The fact that they have finally gotten to the point, 38 states, not Texas yet, not my state yet, sadly, but 38 states have seen the efficacy of marijuana,
mm-hmm.
and finally realized that prohibiting it probably did not only our society, but medicine, a lot of bad for a long, long time.
The cost of the drug war has been ridiculous.
It's been insane.
Yeah.
It's been you may as well be building like a fleet of bombers every year.
Exactly. Well, for the damage that it does to the economy, and not only incarceration costs, but the side effect of just all the brilliant minds.
Yeah, yeah, precisely. And to know that a lot of that stigma is being taken away, that there are people like you out there working to bring products like yours out to the market, letting people know that these products are out there. I know my mother uses these products, all kinds of stuff. So let everybody know one more time where they can go to find your fantastic stuff, where they can go to find out more, where they can go to get involved.
Sure. Website,
subscribe to your newsletter, everything.
Yep. We're just getting involved in a newsletter, and but our website is truehempscience.com, and we've got a number of different products out there. We've got anything from raw or unheated CBD, which is going to be high in CBDA.
Ooh.
And THCA. So the THCA will kind of make you happy, help you focus. Whereas if you want something a little bit more couch-ridden, you'd want something decarboxylated.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. And explain that real quick, decarboxylated.
Right. Well, we were decarboxylating a little bit earlier today. So anytime you heat cannabis, you change the components and you basically move any acidic compounds into their delta or their ester state. And what that does is it just changes the components and where they fit in the body. But when you decarboxylate THC, it tends to be more calming. When you have raw THC, even tiny amounts of it, kind of makes you happy, gives you energy, helps you focus.
Interesting.
So.
Interesting. And I've heard that term numerous times from people that were vaporizer users, things like that, because that's basically what you're doing, is slightly heating it to the point that it smolders but doesn't burn. And that product is still fully usable.
Yeah, we have live resin. So our number 19 is actually a live resin. And
is that one of these that you gave
that
me?
One.
That's this one. That's one of my favorites. Is the number 19 by those guys?
Yeah, it's a fantastic one. And high in terpenes. You take it helps you focus, gives you energy. You can do spreadsheets if you have to.
Mm. It is fantastic, and that's what I love about it. I'm a sublingual guy. If I can do it on occasion. The Ayurvedic is a little tough to sublingual fully, but I know some people that just eat it up.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has such unique and amazing flavors in it. And the one that y'all had with cinnamon.
Oh, the little tiny.
Oh, my God. The little sampler that you gave me.
Some of those.
Oh, that was phenomenal.
Yeah, thank you.
So thank you so much. Please do get some questions ready because Father James Cloud has just joined us. How are you doing today, Archbishop? Are you there?
I am.
Hey, there he is. Hot diggity. How have you been, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing great. It really, really helps if I bring up the proper fader on my mixer. So it was about a week or so ago that I actually contacted you and was like, hey, would you like to come on and maybe be banned for another episode?
You bet.
Because last time you were on, we actively had a banned episode. That was super interesting. And we were talking about end time prophecies. And as we're friends online, things like that, I have fully seen the fact that everything going on right now is when I saw you posting about Israel and Palestine, things like that, I was like, I texted you. I think we may need to do an episode. And then I immediately followed that up with a text of like, hey, Padre, let's get you on. Because this is, I mean, if you're going to talk about it, right now is the time to do it. It's been absolutely wild to see the things going on out there. Let's start cracking the nut on the prophecy of Megiddo, because I think though a lot of people are familiar with Revelation, things like that. Of course, whenever you say end time prophecy, typically the two things that will pop into people's heads are the prophecies of the Book of Daniel, as we talked about last time, as well as the Book of Revelation, which we talked about last time. And we kind of danced around the topic of Megiddo a little bit. But let's really dive into that this evening. Go ahead and lay out the concept of the prophecy of Megiddo for people.
Well, there's the War of Gog Magog that deals with Israel and the Arab Federation, but then there's Megiddo at the final. It's more of a campaign than an actual one-time shot for Megiddo, even though everything ends up in Megiddo, the Valley of Megiddo. But as far as Megiddo goes, all of the nations of the world, as in the Book of Revelation, as it talks about, there is a gathering of all of the armies of the earth as all of the armies turn against Israel. And that would be U.S., China, Europe, Russia, everyone that's left after the series of events of the bowl judgments, trumpet judgments, etc. And that'll actually be a small fraction of people left on the face of the earth at that point. But it'll be enough that the armies are marching into Israel. And finally, the Valley of Megiddo will be their staging ground. Because if you ever seen a picture of the Valley of Megiddo, it is a broad plain where it would be easy to set up armies, coordinate, and then move into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Well, Megiddo when that campaign ends, they march into what's called the Valley of Jehoshaphat, which is also the scripture also calls it the Valley of Judgment. And as they push into Jerusalem, it'll look like Jerusalem's just about to fall. They take over, I believe it's half or three quarter of Jerusalem. And when they do, that's when Christ returns and wipes them out with a word. And the blood flows as high as the horse's bridle.
And what does that mean? Because it sometimes can be a little hard to interpret scripture. As we've said in every episode that you've been on, scripture is so easily misinterpreted because people tend to look at it through modern eyes. They are not looking at it through the eyes of the people who wrote it, through their culture, through their personal history of their people, things like that. So what, in modern terms, what does that mean, and what does that mean in terms that they understood?
Well, the blood flowing as high as the horse's bridle, and the measurement of land that that blood would flow is the whole of Israel. So what it's basically saying is that blood will basically cover most of the land of Israel just from the annihilation that Christ wreaks out at the end when he just speaks a word and every tank, plane, bomb, jet, infantryman, marine, whatever, is instantly killed. There, it's destroyed, killed, annihilated. And it says in Revelation that the bodies will be the feast of for the birds at that point. And it's done. And Christ sets his foot back on the Mount of Olives and institutes what Scripture calls a rule by the rod of iron. And so it's he will be boss. Anyone who doesn't like it, bye-bye.
and I have right now UCG.org up talking about Revelation 16:16, which is really the first mention of Armageddon as we know it, where gathered together to the place called in Hebrew, quote, Armageddon, which is, of course, the plains of Megiddo, where battles not only between the Jewish people and other cultures happen, but between Jewish clans and the tribes of Judea.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely.
Which is once again one of those moments where really interpreting the scripture, I think you really do have to look at things from their point of view. From their point of view, this is where battles to end all battles happened.
Yeah.
Period. Like these are the battles that they spoke of in their history whenever they passed these oral histories and written histories on. Things like that. So for them, where else would this battle take place? Right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Now, I guess kind of to put that in a modern translation, it's... I'm 45 years old. I do not recall a time in my life when there was not conflict in the Middle East. Granted, there's always been tribal conflict in the Middle East. There has always been racial conflict in the Middle East between races of different people.
Sure.
So is that something that plays into this, or... Is it something astronomical like the blood moon that happens tomorrow, where people have predicted that it'll be the end tomorrow? Even our former guest Graham Phillips was like, "What happens when you wake up Thursday and it's not?" And that, I think that that is something to consider, because most people, as we've discussed, really misinterpret the word prophecy.
Sure.
As I think something that is inconcrete, that is concrete, not inconcrete. but that is concrete. Sure. That is something that's unchanging. And that's just not really the way it is, right?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, prophecy is concrete. But, you know, I never pay attention to blood moons or anything like that.
Yeah.
One, they're fairly common. I mean, there was a whole hubbub over, I think it was three blood moons or something happened over Israel a couple of years back. And people were all wigged out about that, thinking it was going to be some major fulfillment of prophecy or whatnot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Nothing came of it.
Well, I think once again, that's it. Much like how people talk about the, quote, prophet Nostradamus. I always have to correct them with the fact of never forget, a prophet is giving you a way out of a situation.
Yeah.
Like, there's a way out of this. If you just do this, this won't happen. Now, like, typically people utterly do not listen to that prophet. They're normally killed because of what they're saying. People don't like it. Things like that. Yeah. So is this prophecy of Megiddo, is that the same way as told to us in Revelation, as mentioned in the book of Joel? Is it Joel? Am I right?
Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation kind of all mesh together. But I know there are some other references in some of what's called the minor prophets, and Joel would be one of them.
Yeah. And, you know, once again, yes, he is. I just looked it up, actually. Joel is one of the minor prophets. He is one of the 12 minor prophets. And once again, these are things that if this, then that is kind of the situation of prophecies. So, is this something, or at least typically the situation with prophecy, is this the situation with this? Is this a situation that is concrete, not going to change?
As well with Megiddo and the end time events, they're in concrete. But the way out is to listen to the prophecies, to listen to what's coming, to pay attention, to make the right choices, and be on the side of Christ. Because when Christ comes back, he's not coming back as the suffering Messiah, the gentle, meek Messiah when he came around on his first advent.
Yeah, he already played that game.
Yeah, that was for us and for mercy and grace. When he comes back, the time of mercy and grace is done. And it's the full force of God's wrath and judgment. And so when the events start taking place, and there are a slew of things going on that indicate we're right on the precipice of what's known as Daniel's 70th week, or the tribulation period, which ends with the campaign of Armageddon or Megiddo. And so folks need to be aware, cognizant, and to make good choices, because they don't want to find themselves on the wrong end of this conflict.
Well, and with that prophecy of 70 weeks, what is told us in that? What should we be looking out for? What should we be on the lookout for there in the Middle East right now, specifically between Israel, Palestine, all that kind of stuff?
Well, so first, the War of Gog and Magog will occur. That'll be Russia, Turkey, Syria, Iran, Iraq, Libya, Sudan, parts of Ethiopia, probably a couple of the stands as well, because they fit in with Gog and Magog, because that goes back to the ancient name for the Russian people, the ones that lived on the steppes, the Magogians, and Gog is their leader. So whoever the leader of Russia is when this all comes down the pipe, he's Gog. And Magog is those guys. So that'll happen first. And then it's my best guess. I'll just say that straight out. My best guess is that's when Antichrist steps up to make a 7-year peace deal with Israel and all of these other nations. And when that happens, that begins Daniel's 70th week. The first 3.5 years of, because scripture and prophecy, a day usually, a week is a day is a year with prophecy regarding Daniel's 70th week. So you have 7 days, seven years. The first 3.5 years, it's phasing in world government, worldwide IDs, getting people used to being injected or implanted with whatever the flavor of the day is at that time. Getting people used to the idea of a one world government of, well, as a lot of them are saying now, a great reset. Getting people acclimated, because you don't, you know, throw the frog in the boiling water. You gradually turn up the heat to cook them. And the first 3.5 years, that's acclimating. That's getting people ready. That's having people fight within their families or their friendship circles to, hey, you need to get on board with this. And if you're not, you're, you know, this or that. And you'll be an outcast. You'll be truly going against the other fish in the stream. And at the midpoint, the Antichrist will declare himself God in the rebuilt third temple. So that's another thing to be watching out for, is Israel's rebuilding of the Jewish temple. Now, of course, this isn't God's temple, because, you know, if you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you, and our bodies are the temple of God. But that third temple will be in existence on the Temple Mount. And at that point, a major religious leader, my best guess is a pope, because Revelation describes him as having the appearance of a sheep, but the voice of the dragon.
Yep.
In other words, very deceptive, very hypnotizing in a lot of ways. And he'll even have the ability to call down fire from heaven. Now, if that's a technological thing, you know, a space laser, you know, you could wonder all
day. You know, we're all about conspiracies, but don't start that one now. Don't get our episode banned because of space lasers, Padre.
I'll try not to.
But in all sincerity, like, we talked in our last episode about the coven of witches that was out, you know, casting spells against our former president. And you know me personally, I was no big fan of the former president, either as a person or a president, nor this one. However, as many people that in society, period, that called him the Antichrist, as many of the things that you were literally describing, talking about brother against brother, family against family, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Like, well, honestly, you
are
see
we
that with,
are we
with
in that 70 weeks? Thing.
Yeah.
Do you believe so?
What was that?
Do you believe that we are currently in the 70 weeks?
No, I don't. Okay. The 70th week does not begin until the 7-year peace deal is signed by Israel and the other nations.
Okay. And that's one of the reasons why I was asking, because, of course, our former president brokered a peace deal.
He did, but it wasn't with a multitude of nations.
Okay.
It was with three to five.
Okay.
And actually, Israel did a lot of the work, too.
Yes, absolutely. All the countries pulled a lot of weight.
Yeah. And really, the one that actually pulled the deals was Jared Kushner.
Hmm.
Trump just wrote on his diplomatic brilliance, basically.
With that in mind, I just had to ask, because like I said, that's something that we've been talking about this whole last 4 years, is the way that our society has almost devolved, the way that we have somehow allowed, the way that even our family personally believes, to become such a roiling, festering boil that we can't accept, that we lose empathy, that we are willing to lose connection with our family, with that support network, you know?
Sure.
And to me, that's disturbing. End time prophecy or not, that's disturbing. But to know that that is exactly part of the end time prophecies, kind of explains a lot why a lot of ministers are up in a little bit of hubbub these days. Not that they aren't always up in a little bit of hubbub, and not that they're always. I had nothing against anybody of the cloth of any faith. You got a right to be in a little bit of hubbub with humanity in general. I think all do.
I'm disappointed daily in humanity. I'll just put it that way.
I love how honest you are, Father. So, to bring things back to a lighter point, as you would do in any pulpit moment, you're allowed the hellfire and damnation as long as you bring it back to the path of light, correct?
Absolutely.
So, let's bring it back to the path of light here. What can we do? Because, I mean, of course, as far as the end of time period, like, that's one of those situations, like, hey, I got news for you. We're all not getting out of this alive.
Absolutely.
Sorry, listeners. If you thought your host thought otherwise, this skin sack is not making it out of here alive. I hate to tell you.
No.
I may be hosting this show from the nether void or from another dimension or something at some point. We'll figure that out. Like Houdini style. But what can we do to better the world around us? What can we do to, I guess, alleviate this with our families, our friends, ourselves, Father? What can we do to bring some semblance of peace and unity back to all of this madness that's out there?
Well, you know what? I was actually commenting to my wife. Oh, I guess it was yesterday. No, actually today. We were coming back from dinner and I said, you know, it just amazes me that people refuse to be nice to each other. You know, and if people live by the golden rule, you know, love your neighbor as yourself and treat each other well, despite differences, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. You know, you're fulfilling all of the law and the prophets on those two things, the two great commandments.
Yeah.
And if people would understand that and would implement that stuff in their life, heck, we could achieve world peace, for goodness sake. But humans being humans, it will devolve into a final world government with a socialist dictator, because that's really what's described as the end time government of the earth. But each one of us, if we, you know, move forward with just treating each other as we want to be treated, you know, give people respect, give people courtesy. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to be so open-minded your brain falls out. But
yeah,
to at least give them benefit of the doubt, help them, allow them to have their points of view, allow them, you know, despite differences.
Absolutely.
I mean, this world would be a much better place.
Well, and, you know, with that, it literally is why we started this show.
Mm-hmm.
Is to be able to have these conversations, to be able to talk about stuff like this. That's why we're carrying the show on to a new name, so that we can even reach more people with that
sure.
message. Because, yeah, like I showed my wife today, I forget how many thousands of views I got off like $30 on a Facebook ad. They refused the exact same ad for Dudes and Beer because it has beer in the title.
Oh, geez.
It doesn't have a beer brand.
Yeah.
It's
adult,
not like Dudes and Tecate, you know, like, it's just beer, dude. So yeah, to be able to bring that message to a larger audience, like you said, to be able to listen with open hearts, open minds, the two things that we remind people of all the time on this show.
Yeah.
One of the first conspiracy theories that lasted until only about 500 years ago. And when you think about that in the scope of time, folks, and humanity, only people like Pythagoras and stuff like that considered the world to be round. Everybody else thought that that was madness. And if you thought that the world was round, you were anathema. Your thoughts were burned. They were taken out of town. You were excommunicated from the church. And that was not too long ago in our history. It took people with open hearts, open minds, to challenge the paradigm of the time and be willing to do so, be willing to be cast away as fools. And like I tell so many people that talk about the things that you were just talking about, Father. My audience knows, you know, I am no longer a fully religious man as far as stepping into a building, but I talk to my God and my version of God every day. We are close, close, close. And for me, it's the fact of you tell people things because you know them to be true. And if you think that your faith is something strange, something out of the ordinary, people, I'm going to look right at the camera. It's not. It's not out of the ordinary. There's a very good friend of mine listening this evening who a few months ago lost somebody very close and dear to him. And when he was telling me about the funeral, he was afraid to go to the funeral because his family doesn't quite appreciate some of the spiritual beliefs he has, Father. They don't understand. They aren't really religious people. And though they're having a funeral, it's really more of a remembrance thing. It's not a religious thing. And he likes to talk about God and vibration and the universe and being moved by said things, the teachings of Christ and Buddha and Siddhartha and all kinds of stuff. He probably has one of the quote most open heart chakras you could get out there, man. And when I heard that, it crushed me. Like, it made me feel so horrible, the fact that this guy was going to go to his sister's memorial service with fear in his heart about the things that his family might say to him because of his personal belief. And I was like, man, if that happens, look at them lovingly and remind them that amongst the world, they are in that 2-5% slice that believes in nothing. So they're the crazy one.
Yeah. They're
not
the friend
you.
Group.
Not the dude that believes in something. You're not the crazy one.
No.
You're amongst the like 90 percentile of the world that believes that there is something out there moving us regardless, whether it makes decisions or doesn't, it's moving us. And we partake in that. So I always try to remind my audience of that. We are moving things. We are moving through time, which means that we're separate from it. We have a means by which to interact with that. We have a means by which to carry things forward, carry things backward. So, thank you so much for coming on talking about this tonight, Father. I'm glad that we had a chance to reconnect, talk about all this stuff. Make sure to stop on by and check out Walking with Ghosts. That is Father James Cloud's book. Thank you so much, Bishop, for joining us this evening.
You're very welcome.
The time as always. I do have some documentation coming for you tomorrow. I was out of town this last weekend, was unable to get things together in time. But I'll have stuff coming to you tomorrow for stuff that we talked about, as well as our good friend Christopher. Thank you so much for coming in tonight. Thank you so much for coming on the show, talking about the amazing products that you provide over at True Hemp Science. I want to thank you for coming aboard, for being a supporter of the mission of not just the show, but the network.
Well, I really everything appreciate else. You having me.
Absolutely.
No, thank you.
I want to have you at least a few times a year to talk about the new stuff y'all are researching, going into everything else. So,
perfect.
Father, thank you so much. Take care. We will be in touch while you're online checking out all the great stuff from True Hemp Science, checking out the Good Father's book. Make sure to stop on by the Dudes and Beer podcast. That is where you can find all of the episodes. That is where you can find everything Dudes and Beer related. That's where you can download the app, everybody. Stop on by and download the Dudes and Beer app. You can tune into the show live. You can ask questions. There's a chat room. All kinds of stuff. Click the picture. It says download. Boom. You download it. You click install. Done. Till next time, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast.
Bye-bye.
To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.